October 20th in the evening, or also Rosh Chodesh for the month of Cheshvan in the year 5778. And we're going to be doing a little bit of a teaching about entering into service and what it means as either a bar or bat mitzvah, or any of us as we're entering into service. All right.
Very good.
Okay, so, Ron, would you pass out the little booklet? I did make some booklet copies. This is actually what we did for bar and bat mitzvah for a couple or three of them. And it's enough information that it takes a little while to go through, so we're going to do it a few months in a row here. If it's possible, It did cost to copy these, so we have a suggested contribution of $8. If you can't afford it, we'll take payments. No, I'm just kidding. But first thing I'm going to say, if you got a pen or pencil, cross off Hamashiach and make it say Hallel at the top.
No.
But it's all right. It was done in 2014 to 2015, so... We're going to start with just some introduction. Once the service was performed in the temple in Jerusalem, and it was done by the Kohanim, the priests. This particular introduction to service is called Avodah Shebalev, or service of the heart. Now, if you'll notice, as we go through, each chapter has a vocabulary. And you can even, that should be page, I don't know if it's three or four on yours.
Three.
And you can write in your vocabularies there. Does anybody need a pen or a pencil? It's up to you. There's a few pens, and here's some pencils. Yeah.
Anybody need a Crayola?
A Crayola? That'll work too. Okay. So if you look, and I'm sorry, they are not, the vocabulary is not in order. It's not alphabetical order, and it's not even in order as we talk about them. So that was because, remember, I was dealing with 12 and 13-year-olds. You got to keep their attention. So one of the things I just said was Avodah Shebalev, and Avodah Shebalev is on there, and it is service of the heart. Avodah is service, comes from Aved, the servant.
Service
of the heart. So the service that we're talking about is just not the service like we go to the service. Service actually means our serving. It doesn't mean you go and sit in a service. It is serving. And that was the whole point of getting this out to the, especially to the younger ones, but to all of us. Service means serving.
Serving others.
Yeah. And it's
about being served.
Maybe, but, so Avodah Shebalev, or service of the heart, is the primary method by which mankind communicates with God. It comprises of prayers, blessings, and sacrifices. The first sacrifice recorded in Bereshit 4, chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, and I don't know if you've got, anybody got their scriptures with them? Let's go ahead and look that one up. But what I'll say is that it does note in Bereshit, or Genesis, chapter 4, that both animals and produce were a way of showing gratitude to God for the blessings received.
So Genesis 4?
I believe it's Genesis 4. Did I mistype? Verse 3 and 4?
I don't know what I'm looking for.
Verse 4.
Cain brought an offering.
Verse 3 and 4.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it. Go ahead and read 3 and 4.
So it happened after, this is 3, so it happened after some time that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to Adonai. While Abel, he also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their portion and their fat portions. Now Adonai looked favorably upon Abel and his offering.
Okay, so but both were a way of showing gratitude. Sacrifices also demonstrate one's submission to God and serve as an acknowledgement of God's power. The Hebrew word for sacrifice is korban. I believe korban is on our list.
It is.
Yes.
So that's the Hebrew word for sacrifice. So that's what that one means.
What's the word?
Korban.
K-O-R?
K-O-R.
Oh, here it is.
Yeah.
Okay, what is it again?
Sacrifice.
Sacrifice.
Okay.
Sorry,
that's okay.
Mind is drifting here.
Okay, so the Hebrew word sacrifice is korban, which is derived from a root word meaning to draw near. So you think about all the sacrifices. Oh, man, how terrible all those sacrifices were. Ugh. But actually, it was a way of drawing near to God. It's not a terrible drudge kind of a thing. It is a way, the root word for korban of sacrifice means to draw near. And a sacrifice was just that. The temporal ritual was conducted by the Kohen Gadol, the high priest. The Kohanim, the priests. And the Levi'im, the Levites. Okay, I'll let you write for a second there. There should all three be there. Kohanim is priests.
In my Bible, they spell it with a K.
When people transliterate it's not always spelled the same. If the sound is the same, then that's okay.
Well, I'm reading in Old English King James, and that's really different spelling.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Old English King James would be really different spelling. So, prayer is always very personal. It's very intimate communication with the living God. Any kind of expression from the heart to God is a form of prayer. It may be verbal or nonverbal. Prayer is also listening to God. It is during this time of personal, intimate communication that we relate to and get to know the one true and living God. Prayer is not just asking favors for ourselves, family members, relatives, or friends. In fact, of the prayers found in the Siddur, that's on your list, a Jewish prayer book, that's a Siddur, there are very few in which we are asking Hashem, and I don't believe I put that on there, but that means the name, and that's a way of addressing God. The name, his sacred name, which is, we'll talk about that in a little bit too. But it's not just that we are asking him to grant us personal favors. Jewish prayer can have many forms. It can be a way of saying thank you to God for his wonderful gifts already granted. It can be a song of praise, a story of the great deeds of heroes and leaders, an account of Hashem's miracles and wonders, or some can tell us about Jewish laws, customs, and holidays. Prayer is also done through corporate communication to God. An example of this is when a congregation, Kehillah, which I think you have there, Kehillah is the congregation, When they communicate with one united heart to the living God during a weekly worship service as individuals are praying the same prayers in unison. Kehillah, once again, is congregation.
Kehillah.
The prayers that are recited are most often contained in a siddur. Now, I already gave you a Jewish prayer book, but siddur is also an abbreviation for seder, which means order, and tefillot. It's the order of the prayers. So, you should have tefillot.
Seder, you got seder.
Seder, tefillot. There you go.
Well, that's
so that's
the order
of the prayer. Which is used in Judaism. Most of these prayers are ancient and traditionally prayed by Jews everywhere in the world. I don't know if any of you noticed, but this very last week, the bulletin, the front of the bulletin for Simchat Torah said, the liturgy we are using is a cross-section from various Siddurim prayer books being used worldwide. Most of these prayers and blessings are derived from Scripture. Therefore, synagogues and congregations everywhere are reciting these same prayers and blessings, thereby unifying us as one in worshiping the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
That also means that there is prayer going up to Him as the world going around the world and meeting at the different times.
Mm-hmm.
That it's being constantly.
Yes, as it goes around the world.
That's where there are Jews praying.
That's where there are Jews praying around the world. It's going up to Him all that time. Most of these are ancient and traditionally prayed by Jews everywhere. It's important to be able to understand the prayers, even why it's being prayed, in order to completely and fully enter into the corporate prayers and do so in unity. Now, another word, kavanah, describes prayer offered with devotion or intention. So that's kavanah, it's with devotion and intention. Therefore, involves fully engaging all of our senses. If you'll notice, there's times when people will go up on their toes. There's times when they will bow. There's times when they will bend the knee. Those are bringing our entire being into focus of what the prayer is and what it's saying. Now, I know for some of you, this is just a lot of review, and this is the introduction, so it's kind of long and boring. We're not getting into the meat of it, but I think it's important that we all kind of understand where we're at, why we're doing what we're doing. Kavanah, despite the millennia-long debate among great rabbis regarding the extent of Kavanah when praying and doing mitzvot would be also known as commandments. I don't believe it's on your list, though. Many today accept the concept that prayer is a heart or saying-oriented mitzvah or good deed and not a deed of action. It's not an action-oriented. Therefore, it requires, certainly, kavanah. It requires our intention. It requires our devotion. Through this, all the people are constantly aware of whom they are praying to and for what they are praying. All Jews agree with the ancient principle, everything is in the hands of God, except for devotion to God. And that's out of Brachot, or Blessings 33. Others say that prayer is not just a casual talk with God, it is speaking with the Creator, and therefore requires deep respect and wholehearted intention. If we cannot read the Hebrew prayers and do not understand what we are saying, it is not praying with our full understanding. Thus, the reason for this class. Tefila, or tefilot, for plural, prayers, prayer or prayers, and I'm trying to think if we had that one separate, I don't remember, are the work of the heart. The sages commented, quote, "And to serve him with all your heart." What is the service of the heart? It means prayer. And that's another quote that comes out of Ta'anit 2. Prayer exalts the spirit, brings us closer to the Creator, and encourages man to choose the good and to cleanse his heart and attitude both to the Creator and to other human beings. When Yeshua talked to the Pharisees about being sincere, he quoted Isaiah, Yeshayahu, 29:13. Somebody got that one? And somebody else look up Matthew 15:8. You got Isaiah 29:13?
Therefore the Lord said, "Inasmuch as these people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men."
That was the Isaiah? Mm-hmm. Okay. And Matthew 15:8?
15:8. "This people honors me with their lips."
Say it again.
"This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me."
So Yeshua was saying, with our lips, we can be honoring. They were honoring him with their lips, but not with their service, not with their heart, not with their... So that's why we're saying it's service of the heart. And so... while we are doing, while we are worshiping him with our prayers, even our songs of worship, we are to be doing what else? Anything else we're supposed to be doing? Devoting our hearts to him. The Shema is very well known. Before I go there, I was going to say that my hope is that you discover the rich background of the Jewish prayers, and it will enhance your experience and help you fulfill your priestly role of Avodah Shevelev. Are we not all priests? We are a kingdom of priests, and I forgot to look that one up. I can do that for next week. Okay, let's go back to the Shema. The Shema is very well known, easy to memorize and recite. We do it week in and week out, at least on Shabbat. Many will even do it twice or three times a day. So it's easily memorized and very well known. However, while reciting this prayer, it's easy to think about other things. Your mind can wander. It is for this reason that many will shade or cover their eyes. They will not be distracted. So that's one of the reasons that is done, so they're not distracted. Kavanah is the key to sincere and meaningful communication with God. I was told personally not long after I learned this prayer that if I began reciting it and got to Adonai Eloheinu, the Lord is our God, without the impact of those words piercing my heart, start over. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu. Let those words impact you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. He is our God. Who are we talking to when we say those words? The Creator of the universe. master of this world, master of our lives. And often we kind of just say it. Okay, so each week we go through an order of service, or a Seder Avodah. So we have an order of service, and that would be what's known as Seder Avodah. Sacrifices were offered three times a day in the temple. After Solomon's temple was destroyed, many were deported from Israel to Babylonia. It was there that a, quote, portable Judaism was developed, including the early form of a synagogue, wherever Jews gathered to worship, pray, and study. That place is called a synagogue. Wherever the term for synagogue is Beit Knesset. So Beit Knesset, which literally means house of assembly. When the second temple was constructed, the sacrifices resumed and the liturgy continued to develop. In addition to the Tehillim, we have Tehillim on there, that's Psalms. That's the book of Psalms. Liturgy also developed to accompany the offerings. Not everyone could participate because of the distances. A system was developed whereby representatives would travel to Jerusalem for a week, twice per year, called Ma'amodot, or standing groups. Ma'amodot, it's below Tehillim. Standing groups. There's a lot of vocabulary in this first lesson, there's not near as much later, but that way when the terms come up again, you'll have heard them and maybe kind of relate to them. But the whole point of it is not knowing all the terms. The point of it is knowing who we serve and how our service, even in our worship service, when we worship together. Like I said, this was created for the Bar and Bat Mitzvah, so that when they came in, especially those that had been there a while and had it all memorized, they had not a clue what they were saying. And I know even many who've been at our congregations have been there a long time, and they know because they've memorized the tune or the words. That's what it is. But do they know the understanding to say it's coming from the heart? So that's why we're going through each one. Okay, so the standing groups were the Ma'amodot. Okay, the destruction of the second temple by the Romans ended the sacrificial form of worship. Prayer became then the primary means of worshiping God. The rabbis ruled that Limud Torah, or study of the Torah, you do have Limud Torah on there.
Limud Torah.
Study of the Torah. Avodah, service or work. And Gemilut Chassidim, which is acts of loving kindness, were acceptable substitutes for worship.
Could you repeat that, please?
The last part?
Yeah.
That the, excuse me, the Gemilut Chassidim, which is acts of loving kindness, were acceptable along with the service or work and the study of Torah, were acceptable substitutes for worship. In other words, for the sacrifices that were being done in the temple. And this is what the rabbis ruled. Okay? The term Avodah, which referred to the service and offerings at the temple, the synagogue developed into a place of worship that operated as three houses, actually in one. Beit Knesset, which we said was the House of Assembly. Beit Tefillah, the House of Prayer. So the Beit Tefillah is the House of Prayer. You had it right there.
Oh.
And the Beit Midrash, that last one is the House of Study, Beit Midrash. So later on, when you hear some of these terms, you can go back and go, oh, that's where it fits in. Because some of these are even in our prayers, and we just kind of go over them, right? The synagogue worship service adopted the liturgy of the temple and the structure of worship as well. There are three worship services per day in the synagogue, which match the three offerings at the temple. The Shacharit, which is the morning service, down toward the bottom of the page, Shacharit, is the morning service. In fact, I heard Mike Miller's working on putting together the whole Shacharit service and studying it. It's at the time of the morning lamb offering, the Tamid. The Tamid, and I'm pretty sure it's on your list.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in the middle. It's actually the perpetual lamb sacrifice. Tamid.
Perpetual lamb sacrifice.
Perpetual lamb sacrifice. You'd be surprised how quickly, for instance, Serena and David, especially when there was two of them, would grasp this and try to get it better than the other one, memorize it faster. And, you know, it, when you had more than one in a class, it gave some competition.
Yeah.
You know, it really helped. The Mincha, afternoon service, and that was at the time of the afternoon lamb offering. Also Tamid, which was known as the perpetual lamb offering. So that's and then the last one is the Ma'ariv, that's the evening service, and that was at the time of the evening offering. Now, look at your vocabulary. What did I miss? What did we miss?
Levi'im.
Levi'im. I think we mentioned it, but it's Levites. Anybody else missing something?
Kohen Gadol.
Huh? Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol, that's the high priest.
Now the Ma'ariv, you said, was the evening service.
Evening synagogue service, yep.
And it was the time of the...
It was the time of the evening offering.
Offering.
Mm-hmm.
The lamb again.
Yes. Well, no, this one was more it was the fat was burned in the evening.
Oh, okay. Evening offering.
As perpetual sacrifice that went up to the Lord.
Yeah.
A sweet aroma.
I've just been reading that. Yeah.
So as we go through, see if you can't pick out something that strikes you that you can take and try to let the music itself even lead you to express those internal feelings toward Adonai. Connect the words to the powerful music with not just your head, but with your heart. It's a way to serve God with joy and gladness. There's an old Hasidic expression, silence is better than speech. Speech is better, but song is better than silence. So silence is better than speech, but song is better than silence. Music has a way of helping us understand the liturgy with kavanah, with intent. Once you hear the tunes again and again, you kind of know what it is. Now, if you can put together what it means with it and try to engage your whole being, your whole heart. Words alone are good and powerful, but not personal. They can't escape with the song. With song, words resonate into the soul and literally can lift off the page.
Let's see. The shofar that we blast in the morning, and we have decided to do it again. It's like an alarm clock to the heavens, and it tears open the fabric of the heavens. Music brings the words of liturgy, which are either scripture or poetry, alive and act as a connection to the prayer, a way to keep the prayer in your mind. There's often I will wake up with one in my, you know, I'm singing it. I'm singing it in my head and my heart, waking up in the morning. Because the music can get it in that way. You don't just hear it, but as you sing it, it resonates inside you. So which area, as we go through the rest of these, resonate with you. There may be something that truly resonates with one more than another. Let's see. I was just going to go quickly over the cantor was actually in the early Middle Ages, was begun at that time to be named. And it is one who had the book for the congregation to fulfill the obligation to pray. They were both musical and learned, and they were fluent in Hebrew. To God's ear, music and song. We're going to go over one more page, and this one is the Barku.
Did you sing with Beit HaMikdash?
Say it again.
Beit HaMikdash.
Beit HaMikdash, yes, I did.
Four.
Oh, wait. Where do you see that?
On the bottom of the page.
I'm just asking if
on the bottom of the page you're going to.
Oh, I haven't got there yet.
Okay.
I'm almost there. I'm like, wait, it's not on that page. I'm just getting there. It's okay. I mentioned it, but I didn't go over it yet.
Okay.
Okay, last part, because it's almost 8 and we want to have time to pray. The first one of our liturgical prayers that we do in our, and this is patterned after our service, is the Barku. Now, there are two Barkus. One is to begin the service, and the other Barku is the when the person comes up to the Torah. They are a slightly different tune. So there are times when more than one of us, me especially, but more than one of us has come up there and started with the wrong tune. And what happens is the congregation answers with the tune they're accustomed to doing, with that tune, not necessarily where we are in the service. Okay? So the beginning of it is, Barku et Adonai, Hamevorach. And the congregation answers, Baruch Adonai, Hamevorach, Le'olam Va'ed. Okay, so the Barku is the signal that something important is about to start, like a bell announcing it's time for recess. 12, 13-year-olds like that one. Or the ring telephone, meaning that someone wants to talk to you. Even when the lights go off in the theater, it's a signal that the show is about to begin. Look at the Barku in that way. This call to prayer is usually done by the kazan, the cantor. So there's your kazan at the bottom there, cantor.
and answered by the entire congregation. The name of the prayer comes from the first word, bless. And the words are the very same that was recited in the Beit HaMikdash, the Holy Temple in Jerusalem. They're the very same words. Holy Temple.
Holy Temple.
Mm-hmm. Or literally, the house, the temple. Just like we respond to someone greeting us with hello or Shabbat Shalom, we answer the call to prayer with the liturgical response. In other words, it's the same as saying, yes, we will pray. The cantor says, bless the Lord, who is blessed. And the congregation says, bless the Lord, who is forever blessed. Yes. You're asking us to bless the Lord. Yes, amen. We will bless the Lord. So the very first prayer at the liturgy, often I know what happens. The shofar blows and you're still kind of out there and not quite in, or even you've sat down and you're not quite thinking yet. The barku is, bless the Lord who is forever blessed. And your response is, yes. Bless the Lord. And then we continue, and we'll go ahead and say the rest of it. Blessed, praised, glorified, exalted, and upraised is the name of the King who rules over kings, the Holy One. Blessed is He, for He is the first, and He is the last. And aside from Him, there is no God. Extol Him who rides the highest heavens by His name, Adonai. And rejoice before Him. His name is exalted beyond every blessing and praise. Blessed be the name whose glorious kingdom is for all eternity. Blessed be the name of Adonai from this time forth and forevermore. So you have an assignment, is to go over your liturgy a little bit. Recite both parts of the Barku. Next month, we'll get into the brachot, the other blessings. But remember what we're saying. Bless the Lord who is blessed. Remember, we're talking to the Creator of the universe. Remember that these are Scripture. How about we look up Isaiah 44:6? Anybody got it?
Right there. Well, you turned
Isaiah 44:6. Did I really?
Isaiah 44:6.
Yes. I thought I left them here.
Thus says Adonai, Israel's King and his Redeemer, Adonai Tzevaoth, I am the first and the last, and there is no God beside me.
So that's what we're saying. And the next part, extol him, Psalm 68. 4 or 5, depending on which version you're reading.
Well, I don't know which one you want. There's a Tree of Life version.
That'd be 4, then, probably.
That'd be 4, I think.
But let the righteous be glad. Let them exalt before God. Let them rejoice with gladness.
Go on to the next one.
Sing to God, sing praises to His name. Prepare the road for Him who rides through the deserts, whose name is Adonai, and rejoice before Him.
Okay, that's the one there then. Nehemiah 9:5. Have I got that one?
And the Levites, Yeshua, Kadmiel, Bani, Hashbaniah, Sherebiah,
How did I get all these names? Hodiah.
Well, skip to the part we know we do.
Stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever.
Okay. I know it comes from there, but... Okay. And the last one, Psalms 113:2.
Blessed be the name of Adonai from now and forevermore.
Amen.
So that's where these are coming from. I've had people tell me that the liturgy is kind of boring. I've had people tell me that they'll come in, well, I'll just get there once the worship service starts, once the song starts. Or I just want to be there for the sermon. Okay. Reading scripture? I don't know how that's boring, guys. So.
No kavanah.
Exactly.
No kavanah. Right. No intention. No, not with the heart. Not shebelev. Shebelev.
Which is always my rebuttal to their
statement. I know. Okay. Open for questions. I know it's a lot to, especially that first part with all the vocabulary and the introduction as to what we're doing. No questions? No?